Welcome to Feel Good with Jo, your Friday guide to staying happy and healthy. I'm Joanne Sumner from the Joanne Sumner Studio in West London, and each show I interview an expert in health and well-being to get their tips on managing the often busy lives we lead. Today I'm delighted to be joined by a close colleague of mine, Patricia Cronin from Yoga on the Green in Egham. And Pat is a yoga meditation teacher and a yoga therapist. Welcome, Pat.
Thank you, Jo. Nice to be here.
So the first question that I always seem to ask people is, what is yoga therapy?
Yoga therapy is the art of using all of the yogic tools. So meditation, relaxation, breathing, movement, and applying them to solve problems or to generally make people feel better. And it can be a mix of all of those depending on the condition that you're trying to help or whatever your effect you're trying to bring about in people's minds.
Which I wonder if that's a surprise to some of our listeners, in that I think a lot of people will think of yoga as going to a class and doing some postures and maybe having a relaxation at the end. And you actually talked about a whole range of different things.
It's actually a very broad science, and it's not possible in a group environment with a class to be able to work that finely with individuals. So the great thing about yoga therapy is to be able to work either on an individual level or in a small group with people who have a particular condition, for example. So I have a couple of therapeutic groups, and recently I've been working with people suffering from chronic fatigue, for example. And it means that you're able to tailor the practice. So in that particular example, working much more with relaxation, breathing, visualization to increase their energy levels and their sense of well-being, rather than working just with physical movement. Although, of course, a little of that to get the energy stirred is always a good thing.
So I'm intrigued by how visualization can help with getting energy flowing in chronic fatigue or in anything else, in fact. So how does that work? How can visualizing something make such a physical difference?
Visualization is actually very powerful because energy follows thought. And you can play with that and experiment yourself. If you concentrate on, for example, a hand and really pay attention to it, allow your breath to slow, you become very intensely aware of the energy that flows into that hand. You may find, for example, it'll become very hot. So if we have an area in the body that we particularly want to work on, by focusing there and, for example, visualising light is usually something people find quite easy to visualise. And imagine that light spinning and stirring. All of the energy in that part of the body is raised, and it can be incredibly helpful.
So as a little demonstration for themselves, if our listeners, let's say a listener has a headache, would that be a suitable thing just to try for themselves? Could they imagine light moving in the head, and would that have a possibility of beginning to shift the headache?
Yes, although I think if the energy was already concentrated in the head, I might think more about stirring it through the rest of the body. So they could, for example, take their breath to the base of the spine, visualise a little glowing light at the base of the spine. As they breathe in, draw that light energy up the spine to the space between the eyebrows and feel as if that light was flowing through the head, releasing the pent-up energy. And as they breathe out, let it flow back down and feel the pain begin to subside. Gently working with the breath and just feeling the energy flow away.
And so as you describe that process, A, it's very it's very calming and I feel all lulled. But B, it feels like this sort of process of almost going and collecting the pain and drawing it out. Or that's how I experience it in my body, which I find really interesting. So how did you get into this?
Oh, I've been interested in yoga since I was about 14. I started teaching myself from a little book in my bedroom. And as soon as I was old enough to go to classes, I started going to yoga classes. And I went to learn transcendental meditation because it was very popular in those days. The Beatles brought it back with the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. So it was a very in thing to do. And I found it amazing and incredibly powerful. But of course, I was only in my 20s, and although I always practiced yoga and meditation, you know, my focus drifted off, and it was some years, perhaps into my early 30s, when I became very interested in the Buddhist way of looking at the body and meditation. And I actually believe all of these different traditions are much the same. But I started studying that, and that eventually took me back to the yoga and the yogic path of meditation. And then in the last 10, 15 years, my interest has expanded out to what people would regard as New Age, perhaps crystals, angels, other aspects. But my own practice is still founded very much in those traditional philosophies, I suppose.
And how would you describe the yogic path of meditation? I mean, what does that mean?
I think the yogic path of meditation is about experiencing yourself. So it's about reconnecting with the true self. And we may have a view, yoga views it as a spiritual essence. So if you like, one universal consciousness that we're experiencing within us. Or you could just think of it as your inner voice, that real you that you're very in touch with in childhood, that you can lose touch with as you get older and get dragged off in different directions. So I would describe it as turning inwards and saying to yourself, what is it that I want? What is it that I need to nurture myself? But finding a way to be that person and still fit into the community and society that you live in. So to be able to be that person with compassion and empathy for other people's paths.
That makes me want to just go off and ponder everything you just said, because there was so much in it. But the thing that I noticed particularly from that is something we talk about in this show a lot, which is authenticity. And the peace that you get within from being authentic. So people often have this feeling of pressure around what they ought to feel, what they ought to want, what they ought to do. And just absolutely without fail, when I work with clients, what I see is as they stop feeling obliged, they stop listening to the other voices in their head, you know, maybe the voice of a school teacher, the voice of a parent, the voice of a sibling, and they actually begin to listen to their inner voice, there's peace. Yes. And there's a sense of stopping having to make so much effort just to keep the wheels turning.
I agree. And I think the difficulty is we live in a world that calls to us all of the time to buy things, to want things, to tune into your phone all of the time, have another app, be very good at this, go out for a run, be active, be physical. We're driven by people who want us to notice them. Often, if you drill down, because they want to buy you to buy things from them. And I think that this is why meditation is so powerful, because you can begin to see the wood from the trees. When you stop tuning in to everyone else and just allow some of that noise to drift away, then you begin to see, A, what you're doing to yourself, but also what matters to you. And that, for me, is the power of both yoga and meditation, because they both take you into a place of stillness.
So if somebody is listening to this and is really thinking, do you know what, I'd love some of that, but I haven't a clue how to start, what would you say?
I think, first of all, look for something you're drawn to, because there's no point in starting something if it doesn't speak to you. But also look for something that's completely holistic. So by that, what I mean is tension in the mind gets stored in the body. And it can be stored as stiff shoulders, it can be stored in the digestive system, maybe your energy levels drop away. But you have to treat both the body and the mind, because if that tension or the problem in the body has been caused by the mind, just working with the body will, it won't resolve the root cause. But then just working with the mind, unless you also work with the body, then it will take a long time. That's why yoga is so wonderful, because it works on the body and the mind, and particularly with the breath, because the breath is the link between the body and the mind. So I would say look for a holistic practice and be patient. Look for small steps. And if you can possibly manage it, find somebody to begin with to work one-to-one with. Because in a group setting, it's just not possible to finely tune the practice to you. If you work one-to-one with somebody, just to begin with possibly, then you can take your practice away and then work with classes.
And in terms of the breath, so you talked about working with the breath, and I have two particular exercises that I recommend the most, actually, when people are working with the breath. One, just for calming the mind, for that peace and quiet, it's a simple one, and of course you'll know it, which is focusing on the breath in the nose as you breathe in, feeling the coolness at the tip of the nose as you breathe out, feeling the warmth in the nostrils. Such a simple exercise, 3 to 5 minutes, can make the beginning of a difference that over time accumulates. Yes. And really begins to reduce the stress. So that's probably my favourite of all breathing exercises. And also the one where you breathe in a wash of light and colour through the crown of the head all the way down to the feet and then back out, and really experiencing that like a tide. And I find that particularly good if people are finding it difficult to sleep, for example, to lie there and just allow the breath to wash in and out and remove all the debris from the day. So I agree that the breath is incredibly powerful. So I'm curious to know what you do yourself to manage your own stress and your own busy life. What do you personally do?
I think for me the most important thing is space away from noise, space away from stimulation, radios, TVs, telephones. So just walking in nature. And at the moment, it's like the world is putting on a magic show. The leaves are yellow and red. So to spend time alone or with others, but out in the natural world. I like to take breaks. And even if it's a short break from a routine, so don't go to the same cafe all the time. Go on a talk or go to a workshop or something. Go to a concert of music you would never normally consider going to. But ring the changes. But most importantly, weekends away, short breaks, and I've always loved retreats. Whether they're silent retreats or whether they're joyful dancing and music retreats, yoga or something in the middle, because it just buys you that space and gives you your energy back.
Yeah, right. And you know, it's one of the things that you and I have bonded the most on. Yes. Is our joint love of retreats and the fact that we both run retreats and are running our own retreat coming up over New Year. And sort of really, as we start to sort of get into that last sort of 6 or 7 weeks before we go, I've really been thinking, what will make the difference for people? And what's the character of the time at the moment? And the thing that's coming most strongly for me is this desire to teach how to think optimistically, how to be able to look at this spread of a whole new year coming up and feel really delighted and confident in the ability to make it what you want it to be, and at the same time absolutely able to be compassionate towards the things in our lives that aren't working, because every single one of us has things that aren't working. And so that's what's sort of top of my mind as we're coming up to our own retreat. And just sort of wonder, what's top of your mind?
I agree, and I think rest. I think people need to take some time out for themselves. So beautiful countryside, quiet, delicious food, pleasant company and some fun. Being like light-hearted but also deep, because people think that turning inward is very serious, and it's not. It can be fun and it can be light and it can be joyful. So I want people to just take some time out to have fun, something that, you know, we don't prize enough, I think, in the modern world.
So if that appeals to somebody, where would they go to look for more information?
They can go to my website, which is www.yogaonthegreen.co.uk, or they can give me a ring on 07860 581 108.
And similarly, it's joannesumner.com, and it's 07786 273 826. Thank you so much for being with us today, Pat. And just one last thing before I sign off. For yoga and meditation classes in the local area, where would people, for your yoga and meditation classes in the local area, where would people go?
Yes, again, my website will have all of the details. I teach in Egham, Staines, Windsor and surround. And I'm happy. I also travel further for one-to-ones and workshops.
Okay, brilliant. So thank you, and look forward to speaking again on Feel Good with Joe in another 2 weeks. Brooklyn's Radio.